This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being with us as we cover a lot of different things in the Umpqua Valley and beyond. Our first opportunity to talk with the new Oregon House Republican leader, Representative Lucetta Elmer, out of House District 24 up in the McMinnville area and part of Polk County. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So I guess at the front end, before we talk about your work now as Republican leader, first off, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in the legislature.
Sure. And just for listeners who care, I represent most of Yamhill County and a little bit of Polk County, but wanted to get my Yamhill people in there, giving them credit. I've been in the legislature for just finishing my third year, so halfway through my second term. I was voted in 2022 as a state representative, and in 24, I was voted by my caucus to deputy leader, and then just shy of a month ago, was voted in as the House Republican leader, like you mentioned. And I personally, my family, I'm married for 34 years. My husband and I have four children that are grown now, and they all work within our family businesses. We have a diverse portfolio of business throughout Oregon, some of it local here in McMinnville, and some RV parks and manufactured home parks throughout the state.
Wow. So how did you end up wanting to be in the legislature to begin with?
It came looking for me a little bit. My predecessor, Representative Ron Noble, talked to me about it, and I politely declined and thought he was nuts. But I will say I've always been very interested in politics, and so I didn't think it was nuts because of the subject matter. I just thought, gosh, I have so much going on. There's no way I can do that. But ironically, at the time he was talking to me about it, I was really starting to feel the effects of Oregon and how Oregon handles business here. And it wasn't very positive for me and my husband. And so we were struggling with a lot of regulation and a lot of a big negative business climate. And so at one point my husband said, you know, I think maybe we need to sell it all and move. And I said, oh gosh, no, I love Oregon. I'm an Oregon native. I can't. And our children are here. And so, I said, well, maybe I need to give this politics thing a try and see if I can change things. And so at that time, Ron Noble was deciding to make a bid and he ran for Congress. And so stepped down. Christine Drazen, that was her first time as leader in the House. And he introduced us. And I said, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. So ran for office and got elected in 22.
And have you ever looked around and thought, gosh, what did I get myself into?
Oh, every other day. For sure. It's a crazy world. It is a crazy building. I really, you know, you think you know how it all works and loosely maybe ish, but then you get there and you're like, wow, this is a lot more than we had hoped for or realized. But I am, you know, a glutton for punishment, I guess. I enjoy it. I don't enjoy being in the minority, and I really, really dislike the super minority, but I enjoy working on the issues. You know, you see a problem and you work on it and you bring what you think is some common sense solutions, and you fight to get those solutions put forth. And right now in the culture and where I sit, that doesn't happen a lot that I get to put them forth, but you have a seat at the table.
And now with a seat at the table, and with your background in business, what are some of the things you would like to see the state of Oregon do differently in regards to its business climate?
Yeah. So when I was elected in 22, then it was Dan Rayfield as Speaker of the House, and he put me as Vice Chair of the Business and Labor Committee. I believe, well, Virgil Osborne, Representative Osborne, which is from your neck of the woods, he was also elected at that time, and we both got put on that committee together. Since then, the committee split in half, and now Rep. Osborne is vice chair of one half of it, and I'm vice chair of the other. But that committee really gave me a frontline view of what the state of Oregon is, you know, what type of conversations legislators are having around business. And I was pretty appalled. It's a very partisan committee. The Republicans that sit on the committee are all business owners. The Democrats that sit on the committee have never, owned or worked in for-profit businesses. And so it's just party line votes down the line. One of the things we passed this year that was just crazy was Senate Bill 916. I don't know if you guys, I feel like everyone heard of it, but it's the bill that makes striking workers eligible for unemployment insurance benefits. And these are public striking workers. And so, you know, you think of public school teachers and other public servants, and they're now, if they go on strike, they also can collect those unemployment benefits. And also, because they're not, they're public, so there's not really necessarily an unemployment pool for them to pull from to receive those benefits. When the state pays those, once the strike is over, then it's up to that employer to pay the funds back. So if you look at a school situation and you have public teachers out on strike, they're getting these unemployment benefits. When the strike is done, the school is responsible to make the state solvent again, to make that unemployment fund solvent again. And so they're paying all those monies back directly out of the education dollars that that local community received for the kids. So that was a crazy one that went through our committee. But broadly speaking, for business and how, you know, I felt it, it's just a lot of red tape. It's a lot of regulation. Permitting processes are taking longer and longer while the costs of the permits are going up and up. And you know, we own small businesses. And so to keep up with all the new legislation that's passed, you know, we don't have necessarily, or we didn't have it, you know, in our budget to hire an HR person. A lot of times you're outsourcing, or whoever is running your payroll is also trying to keep up with everything. But there's so much coming at us, you know, small businesses, to make sure that we're keeping up with all the legislation that's passed, that it's really challenging. And so sometimes you're out of compliance and you don't even know, or you're needing to hire another person just to keep up with the government regulations, which obviously eats into your profit line. So it's been very challenging. You know, currently Oregon is seeing more businesses leave the state than are here in the state, or starting. I'm sorry, more businesses leaving the state than more new businesses starting. This last year we saw Dutch Brothers, which, you know, was a big homegrown success story out of Oregon, and we saw them move their headquarters to Arizona. That was very sad. But there's a whole list of others that have either downsized or moved out of the state. And I think we, as legislators, definitely need to be paying attention to that and asking, you know, why and how can we keep business and attract more business? We know that our businesses are being poached by our neighbors and leaving and going to other states. And that's just a huge red flag to me.
So as you have gotten into this new role, what kinds of things has it added to your plate to be the GOP leader for the House?
Definitely more of this time that you and I are doing right now. There's, you know, a lot of media and speaking about top line issues. I'm managing the caucus. We're 23 members strong right now. We're going into an election year, November next year. So we're working on candidate recruitment, and that falls on my plate. And then we'll be maintaining those campaigns and helping with those campaigns throughout next year. Looking at short session, which will start for us in February of 2026. So making sure that members have their bills ready to go, and we're developing our goals for short session, maintaining relationships with lobby and stakeholders. So it's a lot. It's an increase for sure in the workload, but but I have a lot of energy and I enjoy it.
All right, we're going to talk more with State Representative Lucetta Elmer when we get back, the new Oregon House Republican leader. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Monday on Inside Douglas County, we'll talk to the new Chief Executive Officer for Adapt Integrated Healthcare. Steve Barron has recently assumed the helm of that nonprofit, and he'll join us for Inside Douglas County. We're talking with Oregon House Republican leader Lucetta Elmer, representing Yamhill and Polk County areas, and recently stepping into the role as the new leader. And you were the assistant or deputy leader, I guess was the term, ahead of Christine Drazen's move to the Senate, right?
Yeah, yes. I got to work with her this past year as a deputy leader, and that was great.
And as you have kind of formed your group of folks under you, I see that you took one of our representatives as one of your folks, and that Alex Carlatos.
Yeah, Alec now serves as the deputy. Yeah, and then Osborne is our whip. So those are the three elected positions within the caucus.
So as you take over here and you kind of look around now that you've got sort of more clout, if you will, talk about, like, for instance, the recent special session, the governor, the transportation package, and now sort of a limbo situation with that getting signed. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So just recap real quick. You know, we faced a transportation package during this 2025 long session. It was House Bill 2025, and it was teed up to be, you know, sort of the biggest conversation, the big bill to watch for and to get passed. And ultimately, it just never got passed. It was over $15 billion ask that would have been an increase to Oregonians' taxes and fees. And it was so much that even though the Democrats hold a majority, a supermajority, meaning they didn't even need one Republican vote to pass that, they couldn't do it. And so we ended the session and did not get a transportation package passed. So the governor called us back for a special session. She brought her own bill forward and told us we had to come in the Friday of Labor Day weekend and work that bill. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, the holiday, Tuesday. And it was a trimmed down package, but still over $4 billion for this new tax and increase in fees and doubling a payroll tax. And so that bill passed out of the House and went to the Senate, where it was stalled for a while because due to a Democrat senator who was having some health issues and they needed him to be there for the vote. So it actually sat there for a long while. It didn't move until, I believe it was September 29th. And then it had a lot of Oregonians that submitted testimony and or traveled to the Capitol to say, no, we don't want this. There was a lot of opposition, and it wasn't listened to. There were no modifications made during that special session. And so the bill did pass, and Oregonians have rallied an outcry, and we are looking to refer this bill to the ballot. And to do that, we'll have to get 78,000 signatures. Once a bill leaves the legislature, a 90-day clock starts. And that has started. So we only have that window to collect the signatures. But the caveat is that the governor has 30 days within those 90 to sign the bill, and we can't start collecting signatures until she signs it. And those are calendar days, or I'm sorry, those are working calendar days. And so it's really more than 30 because you can't count the weekends. So November 12th is the last day that bill that she has, and she isn't signing. She's going to run out the clock is my guess, because she has publicly said she doesn't want this bill to get referred to the voters, which I think is unfortunate that's where our governor, that's the stance she's taken. you know, our democracy is made to give everyone a voice and a choice and a vote. And so when Oregon is overwhelmingly saying we want to weigh in on this matter, you know, I think that is what we should allow people to do. And to that extent, you know, there's two Democrat senators that wrote her, the governor, a letter urging her to sign it, saying that, yeah, we agree. Oregon wants to weigh in on this. Leader Senator Starr and I also submitted a letter urging her to sign. So at this point, we have a bipartisan ask, you know, a Republican-Democrat ask to the governor saying, hey, let's get this bill signed so that we can work on getting the signatures and give Oregon a chance to weigh in on this.
So as you look towards the short session, I know you've just taken over pretty recently. What are some of the priorities you feel like the Republicans ought to be working on for that short session, when especially given the fact that the number of bills is more limited than a regular longer session?
Right. Yeah. Each member only gets two bills that we can put forward. And this will be tricky because we're at a negative for our budget. We're about $350 million in the hole. So I don't think there's any chance that, you know, if there's a bill being passed that has a fiscal attached to it, I don't see that that's going to go the distance. So this will be an interesting year with a big topic will obviously be our budget. And what does that look like? I think that the healthcare committee will be a big one. Obviously, tomorrow is looming, and many people are losing their SNAP benefits. What does it look like? Healthcare. There's so many issues right now with our Medicaid reimbursement rates and people not being able to find doctors. And there's a lot of conversation to be had there. So overall, you know, Republicans were always talking about, you know, we want less government and we want, you know, to be more business friendly and we want all of those common sense things. So we'll continue to fight for that. But I think from my perspective, in my role, I just really am going to work hard to elevate the minority voice. I think that's very important. It's a very important voice. And when you sit in the super minority, it's harder to get that voice heard.
Couple minutes left. As you think about the election cycle, what's your role in recruiting more Republicans to run for seats in the legislature?
Yeah, that's it. That's what we're trying to do. We've been working on recruitment and getting people in, you know, that are willing to get out there and work hard to campaign and doing some candidate trainings to get everyone prepared. You know, I think this next year there's some opportunities because we're seeing some representatives retire. So we'll have some open seats. Those are always, you know, a bit easier to go after than trying to take out an incumbent. So I am excited to get into, after short session, to really get into fighting hard to pick up some more seats.
And talk about the challenge of recruiting people for what is essentially at a certain level, a part-time job.
Yeah, it is challenging. It truly is. You know, there are people that care so much about the direction that our state is going and they want to help change it. But it's realistically, it's not always possible because the job in itself is part time. It doesn't pay enough to have to support a family. And so that's challenging for people to say, okay, well, I'll pause my career or I'll quit my job to go do this. And that's unfortunate because there's so many people out there that I would love to get them involved, and it's just not something that they're able to do.
And obviously for some people as well, they're not in jobs where they could sort of just pause their position and tell their employer they'll be back in a few months.
Right, exactly.
So what's sort of your priorities for the next few weeks in your work in the legislature?
Oh, next few weeks. Let's see. We're moving into November, so we have Ledge Days coming up the third week of November, which means all members will be back in Salem, and we'll be in our committees and meeting in those committees. So prepping for topics that will be presented in all of our committees and prepping for, you know, getting our caucus back together so that we can do some policy work as we look towards short session.
All right. And as you move forward, do you plan to stay in this role for quite a while?
I think it would serve the Republican House well if we had some longevity in this position. I'm happy to continue serving in this role, but I do think that, this is my third year in the building and I'm the fourth leader, so longevity would be key.
All right. State Representative and Oregon House Republican Leader Lucetta Elmer, and thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.